Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Good morning on this beautiful day in the Colorado Rockies. You know, usually this time of the year, I'm thinking about taking my ice fishing gear out, but now I'm thinking about open water fishing, and we're going to talk about both today, some ice fishing and some open water. We're going to take you out to Blue Mesa, both in the first hour and the second hour, for some things that are going on there and for a conditions update. We're going to talk some hunting. Just going to cover a lot of ground today. But one thing I want to talk about really quickly before we get to our first guest, and that's my YouTube channel and Facebook. If you follow us on Facebook, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, you'll notice that a lot of times I'm relating something coming up on the show to one of my YouTube videos. Karen and I did 22 seasons of television, and there's about 130 episodes of that on YouTube right now, and we keep adding to that. So like at the second hour, Lake John is going to come on and talk about their ice fishing rentals and the conditions up there. So in conjunction with that, this week when I said they're coming on Facebook, I put a link to the YouTube channel so you could go look at what we're talking about. We're going to try to incorporate that more, but either way, you should follow us on Facebook. We do a lot of things about what's going on in this show on Facebook, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. We're going to start getting some more trivia. We're going to get some prizes and start doing trivia questions where the answers will be posted there. And if you love to watch videos of where you're going before you fish, go to my YouTube channel, Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom. About half the shows are filmed right here in your backyard. The other half, we traveled from the Arctic Circle to the equator and across the country. So there's a lot of good information there. But speaking of good information, let's go right to the phones. And this gentleman, who's an incredibly avid outdoorsman, is always full of great information. He's the editor of Trout Magazine. He's an editor at large for Field and Stream Magazine, Kirk Dieter. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
I am doing great. Now, the one thing when I said you're an incredibly avid, accomplished outdoorsman, I didn't bring up golf because I don't consider... You know what? Did I ever tell you what my feelings... I know you play a lot of golf. Did I ever tell you what my feelings were on golf?
Well, no, but I'm interested.
I love golf. It keeps the unworthy off the water.
I've always said that fly fishing and golf were the same sport. One played wet and one played dry, but I played golf wet too.
Yeah, that could very well be. Hey, we want to talk about a number of things coming up. We're going to talk about an article coming up in Trout Magazine pretty soon that I'm pretty interested in seeing. But before that, you are an avid hunter, bird hunter. You were out doing some goose hunting. Now, I think goose season, if I'm not mistaken, runs till about the 16th of February in the eastern part of the state, which would be the Rocky Mountain or the Midwest fly zone. But the Pacific fly zone on the other side of the state, I think it might have ended. But there's still a lot of great goose hunting going on, isn't there?
That's right. I was out last week out on the eastern plains, and it was, you know, there were a lot of geese flying around. They're smarter now. Some of the resident geese or some of the ones that have been here a while are wary, but went hunting with John Hagen, who's an old friend and just a great guide, one of the best callers I know. And the key with him is he's also really good at setting out decoys and patterns. So, you know, playing the wind and knowing how to make something visually appealing from up high. I think that's really the game right now. But we had a lot of geese. We all limited out. And 2/3 of the geese that we shot were the graders, so the big honkers. Are definitely in the area.
Yeah, and I think we should be, if you know what you're doing, you're right, they get a little educated by this time of the year, but I think somebody who knows what they're doing would be able to do really well yet through the end of the season. And of course, then we start up after that with the conservation and white goose season, which is a totally different approach. But there is some public land. There are blinds. There are duck and goose hunting areas that Parks and Wildlife sets aside. But there's a lot of private land. Sometimes you can ask, but a lot of times, you know, if you're not used to hunting geese on the Eastern Plains, there's a lot of great guides. If you hook up with one, it can make all the difference while you're learning, doesn't it?
It does. And you learn a lot, like you said, you learn a lot from the guides about the subtleties, about just where you make your landing zones, how you pattern the decoys, you know, just the call, when to call, when not to call, when to flag. Lots of subtle things go into the game, and it's really, really a lot of fun, really rewarding. Probably one of my favorite types of hunting, for sure, is late-season goose hunting.
Yeah, and, you know, all of the calling sports, whether it's the waterfowl, turkeys, elk, anytime you're interacting with the animal, it just adds a whole nother level to the enjoyment and the satisfaction of that type of activity, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. And the geese are especially so because, I mean, you can see a big flock or a single or whatever, but they can be a quarter mile or a half mile away, and you start talking to them, and they're going to come down. And especially if you've got the right pattern of the decoys in the field in front of you and a good field of vision, you know, the other thing about going with a guide is not all of us have 250 decoys to put out, but commercial guys, they're able to do that. And those big spreads really, really matter a lot right now. Later in the season when the geese are wary and the food is a little bit more limited, blah, blah, blah. They want to be where there's a lot of geese, and they think that there's a lot of action food-wise going. And the only way to express that to the geese is through a lot of decoys.
Oh, it really is. It's you know, each one of these sports. You know, I say this about fly fishing, conventional fishing, certain types of hunting, that, you know, a lot of this stuff you can dabble in and you can have fun. But if you want to take the step where you really get into it and start learning the nuances, spend a couple trips with guides, no matter what your activity is. And you're so right. The little things that you'll learn, that you'll pick up. I was so fortunate over the years. A lot of guides were guests on my television show. And what you pick up just sharing a boat or sharing a river with these guys is just incredible.
It is. And, you know, I've always said that the measure of a good day fishing or hunting with a guide is not how much you catch or shoot or whatever. It's how much you learn. And the best guides understand that. So some of my best days of fishing with a guide, or when I was guiding myself, I would try to make sure that someone left the river at the end of the day a better angler. That's the mission. So like I was about to say, that some of my best days with guides have been days where I've caught one or two fish, but I learned how to curve cast, or I learned how to steeple cast, or I learned how to do something subtle and different that has improved my game. And by paying attention and keeping notes, you just build this arsenal as you go. And you know, now I look at it as my opportunity to pay it forward and to share some of these tips with other people and do that in the writing that I do now. And that's kind of the most fun of all.
Yeah, I must have known it all already because they said they couldn't teach me anything. So, hey, yeah. I want to move on while we still have time, because Trout sure. Magazine is coming out. You're the editor of Trout Magazine, and Trout Magazine is one of the benefits of being a member of Trout Unlimited. And there's an article coming out about winter bugs. And you and I have talked over the years about, you know, I know a lot of fly fishermen hunker down in the winter and tie flies, and that's great. But with the nice days we get in Colorado and the tailwaters we have, there is no reason to put those fly rods away in the winter, is there?
No. In fact, now's the time when you can really learn a lot and hone your A game. The fish are definitely more sluggish. They're cold-blooded. They don't like it any more than you or I do sitting out in the cold. They know that. Although some of the tailwaters, the water temperatures are pretty steady. So we have that opportunity in Colorado to find places where the water is released from the bottom of a dam, and the temperatures are almost the same now as they are in August. So the fish are active in places like Cheeseman Canyon or on the Arkansas down below the reservoir in Pueblo and so on and so forth. So we have a mix and match. But even some of our freestone streams, they produce, and the fish, while they might be a little bit more sluggish, they're not totally asleep, and they do have to eat. And there are bugs that you can use, little flies, specifically like little black stone flies and early brown stone flies, little variations like that. The article that you're talking about these winter adaptations, and it's written by Robert the bug guy, Younghans, and he's been a regular contributor to Trout Magazine, and he's got really cool insights on these bugs and how to get fish to eat them and so on and so forth. I'm really enjoying this series and these stories because I learn something from Robert every time he writes for us.
Well, one of the things you said, a lot of these bugs have almost like a built-in antifreeze, and knowing which bugs those are, it makes it easier for you to pick your presentation.
Yeah, that's right. They've adapted. Robert tells me that they have the chemicals and proteins in their body that is like an antifreeze, and these are some of these smaller midges and some of the invertebrates and the stone. They're made to live in winter, and so. The fish know that these are the bugs that are active. You don't see the giant grasshoppers obviously flying around and jumping in the river now because there's a foot of snow on the banks of most rivers that we have. But these smaller bugs are a great source of protein. And I would not go winter fishing right now if I didn't have a whole bunch of little black stone flies, little brown stone flies, and little black midges. And sometimes it's even like size 20 or smaller, but that's what they're eating. And if you can focus on that, and then because the fish don't move so much, you got to be accurate with your casting, and you have to be perfect with your presentation. And so if you can get a fish to eat now, you've done well, and you'll be ready for spring and summer.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because their strike zone is really shrunk down. They're not going to chase up like they might a big grasshopper that's going by 3-4 feet away. They're going to look for something that comes right into their feeding lane, and you do have to be better. Now, I personally love the fact that we usually fish these under indicators, because I couldn't see those bugs when they're in my hand at that size, much less out in the river. So,
for sure.
But you know, the fact that I've run in, the Big Thompson is one I've fished off and on in the winter because it's close to my home, and it is a bit of a tailwater because we do have the Estes Dam, but you get down a little bit, it acts almost more freestone. But I found those fish to be holed up in holes where you couldn't – I could sit there, and I probably could have caught as many fish as I wanted out of one spot once I dialed it in, because there were so many fish there that catching one out of there didn't necessarily spook them because there were so many. As long as I made a good presentation, the only reason I moved was to try different areas. Have you run into that?
Yeah, I have. And there are a couple of theories as to why that is. You know, one of the pluses of winter and cold water is that the oxygen levels are good, and the fish like that. So it's more oxygenated water. And then they'll find the spots where there are pockets of these bugs that I'm talking about, like the smaller black stoneflies. And the fish know where they're going to be, where the buffet is, so to speak. So they gather up in these spots, and you can definitely pick them off one at a time. And it's good to move around and rest the runs a little bit, but you don't, in the wintertime, you don't really have to move all that much.
Well, the other thing I know we want to talk about some new products too, but the other thing, when doing this kind of fishing, one thing I learned from Kirk Bean up at Kirk's Fly Shop in Estes, he likes to take these small flies and use one with a weighted bead head as his weight to get down, because we're not talking about heavy flows, instead of adding a weight. He thinks adding that weight, he said, anything you can do to make the presentation more natural helps you be successful. And I think that's really true.
I think so, too. And Kirk's really smart about that stuff. So I definitely trust his judgment on that.
Well, let's not give him too big a head, but
he's a great name.
Yeah, he is a great guy, though. He is super. He's a great guy to learn from. Hey, before we run out of time, by the way, if you want to see that article on bugs, just join Trout Unlimited and get the magazine. I get my issue. It'll be coming pretty soon. It's always great. You get John Gehrig. You get things like the article from the Bug Man. There's just a lot of great stuff, isn't there, Kirk?
Yeah, and of course, at the end of the day, the money – being part of Trout Unlimited helps us fix rivers and make fishing better.
You're absolutely right. But let's take this last maybe minute. We're going to be a little over, but I'll make it up later on the show. You said there's some new equipment out too you're kind of excited about. Tell me about it.
Yeah, there's a couple things that I did take a notice in. And one of them is people are always looking for a fly rod that doesn't cost an arm and a leg. And a new company called Moonshine Rods, moonshinerods.com, they're putting out a drifter fly rod, $199. It has a life. It does have a warranty, but it also comes with an extra tip, and it's got a good action. It's worth checking those guys out. And then I saw a headlamp that I really like too. It's called the BioLite 200, and it's 200 lumens, but the amazing thing is that it's only 1.7 ounces. You do not know that it's on your head. And then lastly, Claymore is a new company that's making also headlamps. And for brightness, it's shockingly bright. They have a headlamp from Claymore that's 600 lumens. And Terry, that's like 600 candles. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. Kirk, if people want more information on what you're doing and your magazines and stuff, well, where do they go?
Please just come to, tu.org, Trout Unlimited, and or go to anglingtrade.com, and you can find my email contacts in both those places, and I'm happy to chat and answer questions or do whatever I can.
All right, my friend, we need to get on the water this summer.
Let's plan on it.
I'm
all ready.
We'll get you in the studio pretty soon and talk fly fishing for an hour or two. That'll be good, too. So thank you, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You bet. We're going to take a quick time out. We come back, we're going to talk to the biologist from Blue Mesa Reservoir. And there's a lot going on there, and we're going to have an opportunity for you to make some money. We'll tell you about that on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.